All right, brethren, let's go to Exodus chapter 22. Exodus 22. Our subject this morning is the law of restitution. The law of restitution. And all of these laws that we're going to be looking at, they all have this one thing in common: restitution. Now, restitution is to restore what was taken away. It was taken by wronging somebody. But however it was taken, it's to restore what was taken away. But God says in the law that we not only have to restore what was taken away, we have to do more than that. We have to restore more than what was lost. Now look at Exodus 22 and let's read the first 17 verses. It says, "If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it," let me say this. When you read these, I know our young people read this and think, well, we're not going to be stealing ox or sheep. What is this? But when you look at the scriptures, the principle that is being taught applies to any situation. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. And that's how God wrote the scriptures. So look at the principle being taught here. "If a man shall steal an ox or sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep." Now that's restitution. He only stole one, but he restores 5. "If a thief be found breaking up," or that we would say breaking and entering, or breaking in, "and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him." That means the homeowner caught him breaking in, middle of the night, the homeowner killed him, the homeowner's not guilty, self-defense. Verse 3, "If the sun be risen upon him," that is, if the homeowner takes revenge, after some time has passed, "there should be bloodshed for him." The homeowner's guilty of murder in that case. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. He says, "For the thief should make full restitution. If the thief have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Either he'll be sold to the victim and be an indentured servant to work off whatever the amount of fivefold restitution is, or he'll be sold and the money be given to the homeowner." And it says, if the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindleth the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let the thief pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he hath put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die, or be hurt, or driven away, no man seeing, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good." Now, he swore under oath that he didn't touch it. Okay, then, he doesn't have to make restitution. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. He's borrowed something and somebody stole it. He's got to make restitution to the owner for it. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn, if it was already damaged. And if a man borrow all of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, the borrower shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall make it. He shall not make it good. The borrower shall not. And if it be a hired thing, it came for his hire. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, she consents, but he deceived her, and he lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. He must give a dowry. And if her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money to her father. That is, according to the dowry of virgins. That's usually amount set by the father. Now, these laws were broken against one's fellow man. But any law broken in the second table of the law is a law broken against God. Go over with me to Leviticus 6 and see this. Leviticus chapter 6. Any law that's broken is against God. It doesn't matter what table it comes out of. Now look here, Leviticus 6, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord. You see there, it's against the Lord. And lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, that which he stole. He'll restore it. That's restitution. Or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal. He'll give back the original, whatever it was, he'll give that back, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, that is the priest will add an amount from the shekel of the sanctuary. It has to be double restitution to the Lord, too. And it says here, for a trespass offering, and he'll bring it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. He'll do everything that was required in atonement that you do to the lamb. He'll do that. He'll make atonement for him before the Lord. And it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. Now, be turning with me to Psalm 69. Now, this law of restitution, it required that not only shall the principal be restored, but also above the principal. In addition to the principle, the person that was wronged was to gain by the injury that was done to him. You get that? The person that was wronged, he actually would be the gainer from somebody wronging him. He would be multiplied in whatever was taken from him. Now, these laws of restitution were not given to teach us merely the moral precept of restitution. If that's all we get out of this, we haven't gotten a thing out of it. Every sinner has, by our disobedience to God, stolen, we've robbed the glory and the praise and the honor that's due to God. By our disobedience, we fell in Adam in the garden, and we've wronged God in that we've stolen the honor and the glory that's due to God by our disobedience. And not only that, every sinner has, by our disobedience, robbed our own selves. Not only did we rob God, we robbed ourselves. But Scripture says this. Listen to this now. Scripture says, surely the wrath of man shall praise God. Whatever's done wrong against God is going to bring praise and honor to God. And the rest that could be done by man, the rest of the wrath that we could do, the rest of the disobedience we could do, if it doesn't bring glory to God, God doesn't allow it to happen. He restrains it. That's Scripture now. So, that's the case with the wrath of man in the fall. God ordained from eternity that both He and His elect would gain not only what we lost by the fall, but more than we lost by the fall. God would gain more, and His people would gain more. There would be a double restoration made to God and to His people, above and beyond what we lost in the fall. How is that going to happen? Here's what this is teaching us. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the whole law of God, precept and penalty. And by doing so, He made full restitution to God and to His people. He restored to God what we took from God, and He restored to His people what we took from ourselves. But not only that, He restored above what we lost in the fall. He restored more to God, and He restored more to us. Listen to, I told you to turn to Psalms. Let me read this to you. You don't have to turn here. This is Acts 3. Listen to this. Acts 3:18. Those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled. Moses is writing the first five books of the Bible, and Moses is a prophet. And everything Moses declared in the law, Christ fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, listen to this, until the times of restitution of all things, until all things have been restored according to the law of restitution, which God had spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Now the first thing I want us to get is that there is no sinner, absolutely no sinner, that has ever fulfilled the law of restitution, nor any other law. You know, this is where we're going to always start. We have to just chop us down and declare plainly, we have never fulfilled the law of restitution, nor shall we ever. We are the thief spoken of in the law of restitution. We're the one who did the stealing in the law of restitution. In the garden, when we sinned in Adam, we stole from God. That's what we did. And we robbed ourselves. When God gave the law of restitution, all sinners were already the thief talked about in the law of restitution. We were already the robber. So we couldn't keep the law of restitution. Now, a sinner ought to, especially a believer ought to restore whatever is taken from his neighbor. And he ought to restore above what's taken from his neighbor. But don't think that when we've done it outwardly, that we fulfill that law. Because we haven't. Because when you do it outwardly, there's still an old man of sin in you that's just covetous as can be and hates the fact that you're having to restore it. And that's so in you and me. Whatever it is that we do outwardly that we ought to do, sin is mixed with it. Sin is always mixed with it. And here's the problem with that. You say, well, nobody sees that sin. It's in my nature. God sees it. Scripture says, Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God's not looking at what man can see. God can see the heart. He can see the motive and the intent of what's going on in our hearts. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You tell a man he's sinned against God, and he'll get right back in your face and let you know. He's not going to hear it. All of a man's ways are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. He's looking at the motive. He's looking at the heart and the spirit, the intent in which something was done. It was due to our inward heart sins that Christ said this. He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you know what I've heard people teach from that? I've heard people teach from that that he meant you better try harder than the scribes and Pharisees. That's not what he was teaching. What did he say in the very next verses? He said, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. All they taught was the outward. They said, as long as you don't murder somebody outwardly, you fulfilled the law. But I say unto you, this is what Christ said, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of the judgment. He said, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman with lust, to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And men hear that and say, well, if I've already done it, I'm just going to commit the act. That's not what God's teaching. He's abundantly clear in the Scriptures that to commit the act is far worse than it just being done in the heart. There is a degree of sin in the Scripture. There will be no degrees of in heaven, of reward in heaven, but there will be. The Scripture just talks about rewards of punishment in hell. Didn't the Lord say it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it shall be for those that have heard Christ and rejected Him? You see, what he's teaching is God looks on the heart. That's what he's teaching. So we've never kept the law. Even man at his best state is altogether vanity. When God's given you a new heart, you still have an old man of sin that makes sin to be mixed with everything you do. So every sinner's guilty. And God says this now, we not only owe God obedience, and we not only owe God justice, we owe Him above what we stole from Him. We owe more than we took. Now, we can't even pay what we stole. We can't even obey and pay the justice that we owe. We can't do those two things. How are we going to make double restitution? We can't do it. Now, if you can confess to God truly in your heart and that you are the guilty sinner, that there's nothing you can do to honor God's law and bring glory to Him, then I've got good news for you. If not, there's no hope. If a man won't confess his sin, there's no hope for him. But if God brings you to confess truly what you are, the sinner, God says, that's the kind of people I came to save. That's who Christ came to save. He said, the whole don't need a physician. Those that are well don't need a physician. I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. And you can't come to Christ unless you're a sinner. But if you're a sinner, listen, God sent His Son, and Jesus Christ made double restitution both to God and to His people. Now look here at Psalm 69 and look at verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. That's Christ speaking. He says, I restored that which I took not away. I made restitution for that which I did not take away. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Ram without blemish. He is the spotless Lamb of God. He's the Ram without blemish. And He's the holy high priest of His people. And you know who else Christ is? Christ willingly became our sin bearer that He might be the only one to make full restitution for the sins of His people. He's the Lamb and the High Priest who's holy and spotless, and He's also the sin bearer who put Himself in place under the law to make full restitution for His people. Read on. Verse 5, O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my guiltiness is not hid from Thee. You see the margin? My guiltiness is not hid from Thee. He owned the guiltiness of His people. And He even interceded for us. Let not them that wait on Thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek me be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for Thy sake I've borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I'm doing something for You, Father. And so He made intercession that we would not be ashamed for what He did for us. And I'll tell you what, His people won't be ashamed for it. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, He restored everything that we stole from God, and He restored double to God and to His people. He restored that which He took not away. Now first, let's look at what He restored to you and me who are His people. If you believe on Him, if He's brought you to cast all your care on Him, He says you are His elect for whom He did this. And Christ said for you and I that He's restored double. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Double restitution is what was required. Now look right here. This is what God says, declare to His people. Isaiah 40 verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Double for all our sins. That's double restitution. That's what He's talking about. In creation, Adam received from the Lord, from His hand, a sinless life. That's what God gave Adam. A sinless life. That's what he had in creation. But in the new creation, in this new creation, God's elect received from Christ's hand more than that. That's what we lost. We lost a sinless life. Christ restored more than a sinless life to us. Christ restored to us not only a sinless life, but a sinless, righteous, eternal life. Listen to this. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Much more. That if sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a righteous, eternal life. You go through the Scriptures, and I love to look
look at this. Christ not only saved His people. He saved us. He saved us from our sins. But He not only saved His people from our sins. Scripture says He's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Christ not only gives the believer righteousness. Scripture says He gives us everlasting righteousness. Christ not only redeemed us from the curse of the law, Scripture says by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Christ not only gives us the promise of inheritance, that's our second message, but they which are called receive the promise of eternal inheritance. When this earthly building is dissolved, we not only have a building of God in the heavens, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens. What does that mean? Believer, Christ restored to us double, above all that Adam ever possessed in innocence. And He did so eternally so that we can never fall again. Ever. Now that's double restitution that He's made to you and I. Now, but that's not all He did. He came to restore to God what we robbed from God. He came, and by all that Christ accomplished as God in the flesh, He restored to God more honor and more glory from His people and from all flesh. All flesh is going to give Him more honor and more glory. As well as He magnified and honored His law and His mercy, and He did all this more than had we remained innocent in the garden. Look down at Isaiah 40. Look down at verse 3. It says, "The voice of Him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." If you had a highway that was just on a level plain and was straight, that just went right across a straight, flat land, you'd say, well, those builders were good building that highway. But if you saw one that went across mountains and valleys and crooked places and everything was straight and a level plain, you'd say, those builders were better than those builders that worked on that level plain. Look at this. Verse 5, "And the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." God came in human flesh. He wouldn't have done this if we hadn't fell in the garden. And He manifests the fullness of the glory of the Godhead in a human body. We'd have never seen that. And so now all flesh, all men are going to see this together. Go over to Isaiah 42. "All flesh shall see all God's glory in all His attributes manifest in the flesh in the God-man mediator." This is above and beyond what we would have ever seen had we never fallen. "All flesh shall see God's glory in the way that He magnified and honored the law, making mercy and truth meet in harmony. All flesh shall see God's glory in the salvation of His people and the total destruction of His enemies." We'd have never seen this without the fall. Now here in Isaiah 42, God is expressing double delight in Christ His Son because of everything He restored to Him. Not only praise and glory from His people, which was already His due. He already was due praise and glory from His people, but He restored double praise and glory from His people for the great things He's done for us. Look here at verse 1. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth with double delight. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Christ brought forth double praise and double glory to God from his people because we see how God's righteousness is manifest in Christ crucified. He brought forth judgment on the cross, and he brings forth judgment in our hearts to make us to behold with some discernment the truth of this thing. And now we're waiting for His law, His gospel from His holy Mount Zion. And we praise Him in a double way for that, that we'd have never praised Him for without the fall. Look at Isaiah 42:5. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out. Look at verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Speaking of Christ. And I will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Here we were, a people praising our idols, and He sent forth His Son, and Christ brought double honor and double praise to God from His people because of what He accomplished in Christ. He not only restored light to His blind people, He not only brought His people out of bondage, out of our prison houses, He gave us Christ Jesus, who is the light and who is the covenant of God to His people. The light that will never be put out and the covenant that will never be broken. And so we praise and we glorify God more than we ever could have had we remained in innocence. Look at this next thing we see is He brought double honor and praise to God from His people by putting a new song of praise in our mouth and in our heart. Not only from His elect in Israel in one little spot of the earth, but also for His elect scattered in all the corners of this world, in the Gentiles. Look at this, verse 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And His praise from the end of the earth. Sing His praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that's therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit it, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praise in the island. More people, more, not just Israel, but His elect scattered in the four corners of this world, He's turned to praise Him with a new song that's better than anything we would have ever sung in innocence. And He brings double honor and praise to God because He conquered all His enemies. Those that He saves by His grace, you and me, we were His enemies. He conquered us, and He conquers the enemies that are left in rebellion. Look at verse 13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man, as the God-man. You read that now. The Lord, God Almighty, shall go forth as a mighty man, the God-man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against His enemies. I've long holden my peace. I've been still and refrained myself, but now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. He does that in our hearts, and He does it. He did it on the cross in one moment. In one moment. He devours and destroys at once. When He said it's finished, He devoured and destroyed all His enemies right there. And when He comes into your heart and gives you judgment in your heart, and brings you to faith in Christ, in one instant He devours and destroys all the enemies. Who is this that makes the mountains, brings down the mountains and brings up the valleys and makes the crooked straight? Look at verse 15. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all the herbs. I'll make the rivers islands. I'll dry up the pools. I'll bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they've not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. That's what He does for His people. That's how come we give God double honor and double praise. But here's what shall happen to His enemies. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed, doubly ashamed, that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are our God. He not only restores double restitution to His people and to God, He going to restore double recompense to His enemies too. Because there's more reason now to be ashamed than there would have been if we'd have rejected Him in innocence. You and I have more reason to be ashamed than Adam did when he sinned against God in the garden. we see what Christ has come and done. You see, He said at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And then look at this. He brought this double restitution of honor and glory to God from His people by manifesting God's righteousness, by showing how mercy and truth could be meet together, by honoring God's law so that He could have mercy on us. Look here, verse 21. The Lord is well pleased, doubly pleased. Double restitution has been made. He's well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He, Christ, will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They're all of them snared in holes. They're hid in prison houses. They're for a prey and none delivereth. They're for a spoil. And there's not any that says restore. There's none of them that can fulfill this law of restitution for themselves. They've robbed themselves. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, He against whom we've sinned? For they would not walk in His ways, neither were they obedient unto His law. Now watch this. Therefore He, God, hath poured upon him, upon who? Upon Jacob, all His elect. That's what God calls us, Jacob. He poured upon Jacob in the person of Christ Jesus. When He poured upon Christ Jesus, He poured it upon Jacob. What'd He do? What'd He pour? The fury of His anger and the strength of battle, and it has set Him, Christ our substitute, on fire round about. Yet He, Jacob, you and me, dead in our sins, knew not. And it burned Him. It burned our old man of sin, which died in Christ on the cross. Yet He, that's me and you, Jacob, we laid it not to heart. That is, until God sent the Spirit of His Son into our heart. And this is what He said to us. Read verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And you know what happens when He does that? Paul said, the light shines out of darkness, and we behold the light of the knowledge of what? The glory of God. We behold double glory. How He made righteousness and mercy meet in harmony. Double glory in Christ Jesus. Now, to all you lost Jacobs, I don't know who you are, but if there's any lost Jacobs here, I'm standing here beseeching you on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm saying, by Him, double restitution has been made. God and His elect have gained more than was lost in the fall, for in Him the glory of God is revealed. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. You turn to Christ and you cast all your care on Christ, and God promises, I'll render double restitution to you. And here for you Israelites that He's already called, this is the promise to you. Look at verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I'm God in Christ, your Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Listen to this. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. You've been honorable, He said. You and me who robbed Him of His honor and glory, He said, you've been honorable, and I've loved you. How can that be? In Christ Jesus, that's the only way. Now read on. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I'm with thee. I'll bring thy seed, your brothers and sisters from the east. I'll gather them from the west. I'll say to the north, give up. I'll say to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. For everyone that is called by my name, for I've created him for what? My glory. I've created him and restored double to him. So he'll come and give me double praise and double honor. That's why I've done it. See, we've not been called to pat ourselves on the back for what we've done for Jesus. We've been called to give God double glory and double honor for all that Christ has done for us. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for this word. Pray you bless it to our hearts. Make us see the great, great, glorious truth that you declared to us in this law of restitution. We've gained more than we could have ever possibly had we remained innocent in the garden. Oh Lord, the wisdom, the infinite wisdom, the depth of your wisdom, that you ordained all of this before the world was made to bring double honor to your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Christ our Redeemer. Forgive us our sins. In His name we pray. Amen. Brethren, I knew I was going to go a little longer on this first